The Stolberg International String Competition is finally coming this weekend, and here to talk about it is Executive Director Margaret Hamilton. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Kara.
It's we've been talking all year about this, and that's partly because under your leadership, the Stolberg has been part of the conversation throughout the year, with artists coming back on a regular basis and getting updates on how these young performers are thriving in the classical world and beyond. So it seems like the momentum has been building for quite a while.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It certainly feels that way. And, you know, we're thrilled every time these young artists come back to West Michigan or they achieve a notable success out there, that we can all take a little bit of a pride in what they've achieved. You know, in a way, they become our young artists, our Stolberg, our Kalamazoo community. But you're absolutely right. This is what we've been building for this weekend's event. The 42nd Stolberg and the masterclasses.
Let's go ahead and lay out the schedule, the calendar for the weekend. It's not too complex, so don't get worried, but it is more than just the finals concert.
That is correct. Our events start in earnest on Saturday morning. Saturday morning at 9 o'clock is when the semifinal rounds begin. Semifinals are free and open to the public. And if there are people out there who have never experienced the Stolberg before, this is a great way to get your toe in the water. Come to Dalton Center anytime between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. The semifinalists perform on the half hour. As I already said, admission is free. You can come and go on the half hour. And it's a great way to, you know, hear sort of those Olympic pre-trials. You get to hear performances. Every one of the soloists will perform solo Bach and then a movement or two of a concerto. And it's from those day-long semifinals that the judges choose our Bach Prize winner. That's something that's co-sponsored by the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Society. And then they also choose the six finalists who go on to perform in the evening finals concert. That finals concert begins at 7:30 p.m. It, too, takes place in Dalton Center Recital Hall. It's a ticketed event, and ticket information is available at the Stolberg website.
Has this competition always been held at Western Michigan University?
In recent years, Western has been our home, and those of us who attend lots of concerts know what a fabulous facility this is, both acoustically and management-wise. But over the years, the Stolberg has been held in different locations. I think going back a ways, it has taken place on the Kalamazoo College campus. It's taken place at Canley Chapel here on Western's campus. But recent history will indicate that, you know, Dalton Center is our home,
is
and we're
home.
Looking forward to coming home again this weekend.
Well, let's continue with the calendar, and then I might ask you about Julia Stolberg a little bit.
Oh, thanks. So the calendar: Saturday, daytime semifinals, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., free and open to the public, come and go on the half hour. Saturday night, finals concert, 7:30 p.m., ticket information available at our website. At the end of that finals concert, the judges will declare who are gold medal, bronze medal, and silver medal, gold, silver, bronze medalists are. And those young artists will return to West Michigan in the following season for performances with some of our performance partners, like the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra,
right,
Western Michigan University Symphony Orchestra, the Junior Symphony. So that's Saturday. Saturday is competition day, morning till night. Then on Sunday, the judges remain and they conduct master classes in the afternoon. And these master classes are another great way to get your toe in the water if you've never experienced that. Masterclasses are free, open to the public, and it's a way to sit in on a private lesson. You get to see that creative process from the inside, and you'll hear the judges work with a variety of students, some from our area, some traveling quite a long distance. And I guarantee if you've never attended a masterclass before, you will find that whole experience very insightful. I hope that people join us for that. There are three concurrent master classes going on Sunday afternoon. They all begin at 12:30 p.m. Judge David Kim, violinist and concertmaster of the Philadelphia Orchestra, and actually a former Stolberg competitor.
Fantastic.
Judge Kim is
competitor, not a medalist.
He didn't earn a medal that year, but boy, he made it to the concertmaster of Philadelphia Orchestra. I'd say he turned out all right.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Yeah, that's right. So he's our violin judge this year. He'll conduct the violin master class. Professor Itzhak Schatten, a renowned violist who teaches at the University of Michigan, he will conduct a class that includes violists as well as violinists. And then cellist Amit Pellet. Amit is the professor of cello at the Peabody Conservatory. He will do a cello master class that afternoon. So come and go, see what happens behind the scenes. You'll hear the artists of tomorrow and as well get to experience the teaching of three great masters out there, David Kim, Itzhak Schatten, and Amit Pellet.
I think Mr. Pellet has come to Kalamazoo before. I remember a Fontana series concert where he was the cellist in the Tempest trio.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me of that. And yeah, he's a very exciting artist. He is all over the globe at any given moment. And he is privileged to be working with Pablo Casals' cello. Pablo Casals' widow has allowed him to use that. And of course, that's an instrument that has an amazing history of itself. So come to the master classes and you'll get to meet Mr. Pellet and hear that cello.
And those are held also in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Full details at stolberg.org. And I did want to bring up Julius Stolberg and Western Michigan University because I know that he was a longtime faculty member at Western Michigan University, which is why I asked if this is where it's always been held.
That's a great question. And yes, Western Michigan University School of Music, probably a department of music at that point in time, they were the ones who brought Julius Stolberg to Kalamazoo. And he was not only the violin professor there, he was the director of the University Symphony Orchestra for a time. He's also remembered very fondly as the longtime director of the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra for decades. Many students from our area played under his baton. In fact, lots of KJSO alums still remember their time under Professor Stolberg.
Yeah, I've talked to a few of them. He always had time to listen and to help you. And he was also one of the, today it's pretty rare, but a teacher who often opened the doors to his own home and people were dropping in day and night.
Absolutely. You know, he helped his students in so many ways and he had amazing connections with the top artists of the day. And, you know, it was his ties to those artists, his friendship with Dorothy DeLay, the great teacher, that brought those artists to Kalamazoo. And I believe that it's one of the many reasons that the Stolberg still thrives today. It's the connections with those teachers. Those connections were seeded by Julius Stolberg himself.
And the competition itself was created in his honor after his death.
That's right. And his family has told me the story, so it's no longer legend. I can say it's true. They gathered around Esther Stolberg's kitchen table, family and friends. They wanted to memorialize this great man who had died too soon. And they hoped that by doing a competition, it might last for about 5 or so years. Well, here we are, year 42, going strong, no end in sight. And I think that's testimony to the power of the man himself, Julius Stolberg, to his family, especially Esther Stolberg, to the community that has supported these young artists, to the Stolberg board, who over the years had a vision and a dream for them, and, you know, of course, the teachers, the parents, and the young artists themselves. People know that if you come to Kalamazoo, you're going to have a great experience. You have a chance to launch your career in a very, very supportive environment. So
they can even read a book about it.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
I see it on the countertop there.
You did. Well, may I talk a little bit about the book?
This is really, Rebecca Thiel also covered this story, so it's that you can explore further at our website.
Yes. Well, we are calling it our book. But In truth, the credit needs to go to author Kathy Stinson and illustrator Dusan Petrochik. Forgive me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. The book is entitled The Dance of the Violin, and it's published by Anik Press. And The Dance of the Violin is the true story of superstar Joshua Bell's experience in the 1980 Stolberg competition. And it's a beautiful children's book. It's for children of all ages. It's a timeless story. It tells about how we all need second chances and how we all need to use our imagination and to perform from the heart. Those of you who aren't familiar with the story, I'll let you know that when Joshua first competed at the Stolberg in 1980, he came on stage, and as a 12-year-old, he made a mistake, a fairly disastrous one in his own words. And with his 12-year-old presence of mind, he asked the judge, "May I start over?" And the judge, taken aback, said, "Well, of course." And Joshua, at that point, knew, hey, there's not a chance in the world I'm going to win this competition. So he just played from the heart. And he played so dazzlingly, at age 12, he took home a bronze medal.
That is extraordinary.
That was extraordinary.
You know, coming back from that.
It was. And the story is a beautiful depiction of that event. And the story mentions Kalamazoo and it mentions the Stolberg. It's available at local bookstores. I think it has a message for all of us. And we're very, very proud to have been part of that story. Of course, Joshua Bell himself deserves the credit for the story. It is his story. And the sequel to that story is he came back the next year and did play the performance of his then 13-year-old life. He took home the gold. And of course, his career tells the rest of that story.
I will be actually chatting with Joshua Bell on the radio tomorrow. He'll tell a little bit of that story. And I did want to say before we put the book away that my favorite part actually are the illustrations. It's hard to explain on the radio, but it's also, I think it's very difficult to visually represent what it feels like to have music going on in your mind and the thrall of being of playing music you love. It's illustrated in such a with such flair. There's this movement created on the page that you really it works for me. You're a horn player, Mark. Does this representation of music surrounding you kind of?
It absolutely does. Yeah. I mean, and you're a flute player and a wind player, but we all know that feeling of swirl and color and the excitement and energy that comes from it.
Yeah.
And you are so right. These illustrations just capture this beautifully. And beautiful illustrations of what a young boy must be thinking of as
and
he takes
a
on
a pretty hyperactive
something.
Young boy, actually.
Yes, yes. That was the story, wasn't it?
He's kind of abuzz as a child. He has no ability just to lie back and sit down. He's constantly on the move.
That's right. Well,
story.
Obviously, this very special boy turned into the very special artist that we all know today as Joshua Bell. And, you know, that's the beauty of an event like this, that you'll get to see, you know, young artists who are just about to take that next step.
And I think Joshua would tell us that today's finalists are as good, maybe even better than he was at that time, and they all have incredible stories coming with them. There are 12 of them.
There are 12 semifinalists, and those 12, in our own words, are already winners because they were chosen from a field of 170 applications. This was a record-breaking year for us in applications. So to be chosen as 12 from a pool of 170 means, you know, you've already made a mark.
Yeah.
And every one of those performers on the stage this weekend has a career. In fact, when you read the programs, you'll see they already have careers. They have major performances in their pocket. They are veterans of programs like
From the Top,
which you can hear here on WMUK Saturdays at noon. You know, the most exciting young talent out there. So come to this Saturday's events and get a glimpse of the future.
Would you tell a little story about Daniel Haas, who was last year's medalist in last year's competition, and then we can hear him play a little.
Oh, I'd love to. Yes. Daniel took home the gold last year. We were thrilled to have his have a cellist win. Daniel then returned to West Michigan this past fall for a pair of performances with the Grand Rapids Symphony Orchestra. He, too, already has a major career underway, major prizes from a Canadian organization, active performance career.
I assume they're all still in school, though. They're under 19.
Yes, yes. You have to be under 19. No, under the age of 20 as of the January 1st before the competition. So this year, I think our youngest is 14 years old. Our oldest would be 19 or just at that 20 if they've had a birthday since January 1st. Most of them are in, you know, major conservatories or college music programs. They come from across the United States as well as Canada. That's where they're doing their studies. Their nationalities, as we say, they come from as far as Australia. We have one young woman who is an Australian native, and then they come from as near as Battle Creek, where we work. Welcome back, a local competitor.
We will talk about this local violinist in a few minutes, but why don't we hear this gold medal winning performance by Daniel Haas. From the 2016 Stolberg International String Competition, we heard the gold medal winning performance by cellist Daniel Haas. Margaret Hamilton, the executive director of the Stolberg International String Competition, is my guest this morning. The competition is this weekend, and full details on the schedule, the semifinals and finals concert, and the masterclass workshops are on the website stolberg.org. Let's talk a little bit about this wonderful cellist, Daniel Haas. I understand he has been living in Toronto for some time, but he came from elsewhere.
Right. His family roots are in Israel. So Tel Aviv was their home. Then, as you said, moved to Toronto. Daniel has been studying at the Juilliard School, and he was studying there when he won the competition last year. His teacher there was Joel Krosnick. Mm-hmm. And as we already said, he traveled back to West Michigan, did a couple of performances up with the Grand Rapids Symphony Orchestra, another one of our performance partners, and dazzled them up there as well, and has a very exciting career ahead of him.
What we just heard was so just incredible playing and such presence of mind, and the interpretation was there.
Thank you, Care, for mentioning that, because I think this is what's so extraordinary about these young artists. Obviously, technically, they are dazzling, but there is a depth there. There is an emotion there. They have something to convey, as we just heard in Daniel's performance of that very, very moving work. And I think that is the real excitement of the Stolberg and of their performances, is that artists at this stage of their development have that much depth and have such important things to say through the music. I believe you couldn't fail to be moved by sitting there and listening to their performances.
I will say my experience as a member of the audience on Stolberg Night is kind of surprising how much literal drama there is. It is... well, the music is told in a storytelling way, and to some degree, they're playing for from their hearts. Primarily, I think we don't get a sense. I don't get a sense of showboating or showing off. They really are trying to share who they are on stage, and so the stories are there. The excitement is certainly there.
That is so right. And, you know, it was just a couple of years ago that one of the parents of the semifinalists articulated it to us, you know, that during the performances, you know, you could hear a pin drop. It was, you know, the audience was that engaged with the artist on stage. And then the performance draws to a close and the audience just explodes. It's like this outpouring of emotion and gratitude for what has just occurred. And I think that is what's so exciting. And, you know, for the parent of this young performer, they said this is an energy there that, you know, really helps with the performance. So it's a two-way street. The audience is as important as what's going on the stage. And that's why I hope more and more people from our region take part in this, you know, be there at the event.
Well, I'm sure you'd like to see a contingent from Battle Creek appear to support one of their own homegrown musicians.
You are so right. This year, for a second time, violinist Zachary Brandon has earned the right to be a semifinalist and will be competing at this Saturday's event. And it's not often that we have someone from our region. Decades ago, cellist Tony Ross, a Kalamazoo boy, won the gold. But that was way back when, at the beginning of the competition. And now, you know, to have Zachary, who grew up in Battle Creek, who's part of the Junior Symphony program, who has studied with local teachers, this too is very exciting that we have a hometown artist to cheer for, as well as those 11 other artists. And I think it will make for a very, very exciting series of performances on Saturday.
You mentioned the other finalists are coming from as far as Australia and even closer, of course.
Yes. Now, most of them are studying at conservatories in the U.S. or in Canada, but their family roots go back, or they have grown up. You know, we have a cellist who's coming from Australia, people from Canada, people from the West Coast. Of course, the East Coast conservatories are representative, folks from Chicago, folks studying in Cleveland. And it just shows what a lively, supportive music scene we have here in the United States, that people will travel here to do their studies.
I want to know about the one player playing a different instrument from everyone.
You're right. A double bassist. We are so glad to welcome a double bassist back to the competition this year. That's a very exciting thing because you don't often get to hear the double bass as a solo instrument. But when it's being played on the level of the Stolberg semifinalist, it's a dazzling performance. It's an instrument capable of so much color and so much depth. Double bassists have a challenging life. They've got some logistical issues that most other instrumentalists don't have to deal with. But boy, those logistical issues are all worth it when they're up there on stage. Not too many years ago, a double bassist took home the Stolberg Gold. Some people might remember Nicholas Schwartz because he came back and performed in Kalamazoo a couple of summers ago. Nicholas is now in Amsterdam's Concertgebouw Orchestra. So he has a fabulous career underway. And he took home the gold back late 2000s, maybe 2008, 2009. I'd have to look that up. So history just might repeat itself with this year's double bassist. And the only way to find out is by coming to the Stolberg this Saturday.
I find it amusing that you are a top-level horn player, a French horn. And now you're working with so many string players. Is there what's the difference between the two types of musicians?
I have always felt honored that these string players would accept a lowly brass player into their community. But, you know, as we say so often in life, we have more in common than we are different. I mean, we play the same notes. It's the same music. It's the same artist. Where I envy string players, they have a repertoire that, you know, spans every style period. And I sometimes envy the training that string string players, just like pianists have. They have very methodical training that starts at a very, very young age, and the results are quite evident when you hear a competition like this. And of course, you know, brass players, wind players, as you well know, we start later in life because we have to wait till our adult teeth come in.
Yeah. And many of us grow a little.
Exactly. So we have to grow into our instruments. We come from oftentimes school music programs that sometimes don't have all the resources that they need. So we go out and find what we need to do. Yeah. That's where the differences perhaps are a little more evident. But in the end, it's all great music. And I'm honored to be part of that community.
So this young bass player will be driving in from Philadelphia with the bass in the back of the car.
That's right. Every one of these young artists has an extraordinary family behind him or her.
True.
And of course, this double bass player, you know, his parents have schlepped him and his instrument to countless places. And now they're coming to Kalamazoo, which is a wonderful thing.
One thing I've always liked about the finals concert is the medals are awarded generally when they can be there by the conductors of the various orchestras who will feature them as soloists later in the season. So you see Andrew Kohler, you see Bruce Uchimura or Raymond Harvey or from the Grand Rapids Symphony.
Right. We are so fortunate to have these performance partners, and they, too, are part of the Stolberg success story. If we didn't have these collaborations, we wouldn't be where we are. And I think the prizes that our young artists value most are the performance opportunities. Certainly the cash awards are helpful, but it's the performance opportunity with those different orchestras that you've just mentioned that really makes the difference to them and their career. This year we have different representatives joining us on stage. Peter Gistelink, the CEO of Kalamazoo Symphony, will be joining us to help award the gold medal, and that gold medalist will come back to perform with the KSO this fall. Working on behalf of the School of Music will be School of Music Director Bradley Wong. He will help us award the silver medal, and then the silver medalist will come back in October to perform with Maestro Bruce Uchimura and the University Symphony Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And then, yes, as you already mentioned, Maestro Andrew Kohler from the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra, he will help us award the bronze medal. Bronze medalist has a history of coming back in February to perform with the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony Orchestra.
Well, that's a lot of Stolberg detail. Hope people have enjoyed hearing about everything that goes into this competition and the special people who will be on stage as well as those supporting it off stage. It's quite an enterprise. Why don't we wrap up at the end of this hour with the finalist performance by Zach Brandon? And perhaps you can give a few details once again to listeners who may not have caught some of the calendar earlier.
Okay, so our calendar is focused on this weekend, this Saturday, May 13th. Semifinals take place on the half hour between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Semifinals are free and open to the public, so please come, whether you can stay for 30 minutes or longer, be part of the excitement during the day. At 4 o'clock, the judges will convene. They'll choose the six finalists for the evening, and we will announce those. We will also announce the Bach Prize winner. The Bach Prize is supported by our friends at the Kalamazoo Bach Festival, so we're grateful for their support. Then the evening finals concert begins at 7:30 p.m. All of this takes place in Dalton Center Recital Hall. Mm-hmm. The evening is a ticketed event. You'll find ticket information at our website. There's a reception for everybody at the end, so we all celebrate. And then we get up the next morning and get ready for the master classes on Sunday, beginning at 12:30. Master classes take place on the ground floor of Dalton Center. There will be concurrent classes, violin class with David Kim of the Philadelphia Orchestra, concertmaster, viola violin class with Professor Itzhak Schotten of the University of Michigan, and then the cello class with Professor Amit Pellid from Peabody Conservatory.
Mm, very good, Margaret. Nice having you here once again, and all the best this weekend with the Stolberg International String Competition.
Well, Kara, it's always a joy to talk with you. Thank you for giving these artists a stage here in your studio.
Here's Zachary Brandon in 2016 at the Stolberg.